Chapter number 3, first book in the Bible, first book of Moses, Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam, and also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Father, bless this holy book now, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you've read your Bible, and I'm sure you have many times, the book of Genesis chapter 3 unfolds with Eve taking the forbidden fruit and leading it to her husband Adam. They both eat and come under the curse. Both of them are going to die. They died spiritually on the spot, and then 900 and something years later, Adam died. It's very important to understand, though, these are not just two people that lived in the past. These people represent something. The Bible talks about the first Adam, then the last Adam. It talks about the first man, then the second man. It's important to understand that all of mankind, God sees in one way. And that is today, they're either a member of the body of Christ or they're not. And the first Adam was the man who brought into this world sin. And this first Adam was the one who gave us death. In Romans chapter number 5, it says plainly, for as by one man's sin, And we brought death. And so this is what happened with the first Adam. But the last Adam brought life. And when he did, he brought life to all mankind. Every living human being that has ever walked the face of this earth has life in the Lord Jesus Christ. All they've got to do is accept it or reject him. And so Eve is the mother of all living. This is what he called her. This is a Hebrew word, Eve. For example, there's a town over there in Israel. It's called Tel Aviv. And this is totally a man-made structure, and it's new, and it literally means the mountain of life. A tell is a mountain. For example, Megiddo, where the plains of Megiddo or Esdraelon fall before it, has 23 separate layers of civilization dating back over thousands of years, and it is called Tel Megiddo. So here we have in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, Eve, the mother of all living, showing up. She becomes a type of Christ, and she's also a type of this church or the city that comes down from God out of heaven. We read about that in the book of Hebrews, the New Jerusalem, and we read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, the New Jerusalem. The Bible says Jerusalem, which is above, is free, and it is the mother of us all. And so Eve is the mother of all mankind, but she's a type of that one who is the mother of all who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And my little friend, you can walk this earth. You can go to Chicago. You can go to Detroit. You can go to Philadelphia. You can go to all the cities of the earth. And you'll not find the city that the Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham looked for. For the Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Foundations because it is built upon the apostles and prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he laid the cornerstone that became the foundation, my dear friend, that is immovable, it's eternal, it's absolute, and nothing can take its place. Aren't you glad that when God saved your soul, he didn't set you on shifting sand when he wrote your name in heaven? He put you on a solid rock. And the Bible says that we have been born of that rock. And our rock is not their rock. Our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we read here about a type. And Eve becomes a type of the bride of Christ, because Adam is a type of Christ himself. Remember, here is the first Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam. They bring forth children upon this earth. These children that they bring forth upon the earth, all of them come under the curse of what Adam had done. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, being the last Adam, and with his bride, will bring forth children too, spiritually speaking. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says plainly, that we are the members of the body of the firstborn. Nobody that lived before us were born of the Spirit of God. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born of the Spirit of God, and you are a member of the church of the firstborn. Remember this. All mankind, every last one that ever lived, was born of the first Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ, being the last Adam, will be the father of all that are born into the future. And nobody can ever be born again without the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring you to the Father. Isn't it a beautiful picture to know that God Almighty had laid down in the book of Genesis something that we can take hold of as an anchor of the soul? For we know where everybody came from. I don't find any monkeys here, do you? No gorillas here. No. No tadpoles. No nothing. What we find here is a man that is made in the image of God. And that man made in the image of God has a special love cast upon him from God the Father. And so we have a type of Christ. We go on in our Bible, begin to read it. We realize that Sarah is also a type of the body of Christ. And Sarah's a type of the body of Christ. She mocked. And she made fun when God told her that she would bear a child. But my dear friend, a lot of people have mocked and made fun to later repent and get right with God. Did you know that? Listen to the story of Nora. Nora came to stay for a few days at the emergency shelter on the first floor of our big old church. With hair so bleached it was white, tight, plastic slacks, and see-through blouse. Nora was all of 16. Her parents, in frustration and disgust, had locked her out. Chain-smoking, flirtatious, troublemaking, knowledgeable, and stupid at the same time. Nora was the center of attention. Nora insisted on being the center of attention. Saturday afternoon, I was alone in the kitchen when Nora came in and sat down across from me. And silent for a long time, she finally asked her question. Listen carefully. She says, "I heard a priest say once that Jesus even loves prostitutes. Is that true?" The answer, it's not me, it's the man who wrote this. I almost went into my sermonette. You've heard it, about how God loves the sinner, but not the sin and all of that. But no, something shut my mouth, and I simply said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." And Nora wept. Yes. It took her 16 years to get to the bottom. It took her 16 years to realize how frail she really was. It took her 16 years to realize what sin would do to her soul. Oh, no doubt she enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a moment. But my dear friend, when the time came to answer up and pay the piper, she realized that something had been done to her on the inside that had died. And she needed God. She needed somebody that could help her. Somebody that could lift her up. Amen. And all this man had to say was, "Yes, God forgives prostitutes. Yes, God forgives sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Amen. Sinners, my dear friend. Well, who is that preach? You. Every last one of us in this house today, we are sinners. We are sinners. We're either forgiven sinners or we're running from God and trying to hide behind something or someone. But it's all about sin. You see, that first Adam brought sin, and he brought death and destruction and damnation upon mankind. But the last Adam, thanks be unto God, lifted us up above that and gave us something that Adam cannot give us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he arose from the dead, he became the last Adam. For when he arose from the dead, it was, my friend, by him rising from the dead that he was able to give children after children after children after children. And my friend, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ has become my Savior and my Lord. He is the bridegroom. He is the bright and morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. Amen. He is the lily of the valley. He is all, my friend, that your soul ever longed for. If you ever one time really try him, instead of talking about him, try him. Instead of looking at him, get on your knees and cry out to him. You'll find the Lord Jesus Christ the answer of your soul. You, I'm sure, have tried, a lot of you have tried everything. You've run from one church to the next, tried this religion, that religion, this self-help program, this, that, and they've all failed you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. Amen. We find Rebecca in the Bible. She wanted the birthright for her son. And Rebecca, of course, you know, understanding that there is a spiritual element to this. A lot of people, when they come into the church or they get around religion or they get around the preaching, they think it's all about doing. A lot of people, that's all they've ever known is just do, do, do. Folks, it's not about doing. It's about being. And my friend, once you become what God Almighty wants you to become, then you all be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But the works, my friend, follow the true faith of Christ. And so Rebecca, she wanted the birthright. She wanted the birthright. And my friend, we have the birthright. Remember, we are the church of the firstborn. Nobody before us, dear friend, was in the body of Christ. We are the beginning of the body of Christ. And when he comes to catch us up to meet him in the clouds, he's going to have something for us. Then we have Rachel. She's a type of the church too. What about her, preacher? The Bible said on the way to Bethlehem, as she was dying, she called her son Benoni. And she said, "This is the son of my sorrow." But Jacob said, "No, no, no, no. There's something about this child. It's going to be altogether different. This is the hand of God and the way it moves." So he called him Benjamin. Or Benjamin, son of my right hand. You see, God can bring good out of bad. If you'll just put your life in the hands of God, he'll bring good out of it. He'll work all things together for good, for those that love God, for those who are called according to the purpose. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. Amen. What's that perfect day? That's the day he catches you out of here. One of the best things about today, it's one day closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And so we have Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel. These are the wives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And then we have the first one, who is Adam. And these are types of Christ and the types of the body of Christ. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In the Old Testament, Israel is called the wife of Jehovah. And that's a separate message altogether, but she is. Israel is called the wife of Jehovah. But you see, the New Testament church is not called the wife of Jehovah. The New Testament church is called the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And this is very important to understand, because if you understand that concept, you'll understand that the biggest part of the New Testament is written to or about the bride of Christ. That's what it's about. And when we get to the Apostle Paul, who's been born again on the road to Damascus, we'll find out that God reveals to him the purpose, nature, the composition of the bride of Christ, and he gives him the mysteries of the faith. And so the New Testament is all about the bride of Christ. If we get that right, we'll begin to understand what's going on. So the Old Testament Jew would choose his bride. The Apostle Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 2, "Are you in an arranged marriage this morning, gentlemen, or did you choose your bride?" How many chose your bride? Raise your hand. How many have a clue what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You chose your bride. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 2. Now look at this thing. 2 Corinthians 11 verse number 2. He said in verse 1, "Would to God you bear with me a little, my folly. Indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The ministry of the Apostle Paul is directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. His message was to the church of God. This is the bride of Christ. If you're born again this morning, you are a member of the bride of Christ. You're looking for the coming of the bridegroom. You're looking for the heavens to open and for him to come for you. Now, the first step in the Old Testament there, the time of Christ in marriage, is that there was a choosing to take place. And one of the greatest preachers of that in the whole Bible is Abraham. When he says to his servant, he said, "Listen, don't you take a bride of these Canaanites and this stuff around here for my son. You go to where we came from. And when you get there, you bring back a bride for my boy." And his name was Eleazar, and he was a servant of Abraham. And so he went off into the foreign country, into Syria. He went to that land, and there he found a well. And there was a young woman at that well. Her name was Rebecca. And he talked to her, and he asked God to give him wisdom, show him where to go. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. You can hear me, okay, but you can turn me off. But you cannot turn the Holy Spirit off like that. Once he begins to speak to your soul and turn the light on, the light's on. And once that light comes on, then you got to do something with that light. Sure, you can find fault in me. Well, my goodness, friend, if I bared everything to you of what I've been, you probably wouldn't listen to me, but I am not what I used to be. Amen. That's what makes this altogether different. God has saved my soul. And so to Rebecca, he says, will you go? Will you go? She answered, yes, I'll go. And when she answered that, yes, I'll go, she went back. And when she went back, the Bible says that Isaac was in the field and he was mourning the loss of his mother, Sarah. He was in the field mourning the loss of his mother. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing 2,000 years ago. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which are sent unto thee. He moaned his people. He moaned over them. He wept over Jerusalem. But God Almighty gave him something so precious and so near. He gave him the body of Christ. He gave him the church. He gave him his bride. And that bride has filled the place of loneliness for his mother, Sarah. But listen carefully. The day will come, and it won't be long, I don't believe, before he'll see Sarah again. He'll see his mother again. And when he does, it'll be when the heavens open and he comes down to where she is. And she'll see him again. You see, right now, Sarah has been put aside. But the body of Christ has filled the heart of the Lord Jesus and has brought joy to his soul, to his spirit, and to his being. He loves you, folks. He said in John chapter number 16, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again to receive into myself, that where you are, there you may be also. First stage in the bride of Christ is to choose the choice. The second stage in the bride of Christ in the ancient Hebrew, now we're talking about Hebrew culture. The second stage is that he leaves his bride. He leaves the one that he's chosen. He's espoused himself to her. He's given money to the family, to the mom and to the dad, to show his sincerity. And they have come into an agreement between the two of them. She is his espoused bride. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born of Mary, the Bible said she was espoused. Amen. A espoused bride. And this simply means that they have a binding agreement that is as strong as a marriage itself. That he's going to come back and he's going to get her. So he goes away. And he goes away to prepare a place for her. And he goes away to prepare a place for her because he's going to come back. He doesn't tell her when he's coming back. He doesn't tell her what time of the day he's coming back. But he said, I'll come again. I will be back. Amen. And she looks for him then. From that day on, she yearns in her heart and in her soul. Come back, come back, come back. Oh, this world will never satisfy my soul. The daughters of Canaan will never satisfy my soul. I look for the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the bride did. And she longed for him day in and day out. And so he does come back. And when he does come back, it's quite a remarkable thing. Now, you know, when God saved you, he didn't have to make you a bride. He could have saved you, written your name in heaven, that'd be it. You'd be born again. But he made you a bride. What's that mean? He wants to have a relationship with you that is very, very personal and intimate. On a spiritual level, nothing's any higher. He wants to have a relationship with you, my dear friend, that he cannot have with an angel, or he cannot have with a cherubim. He cannot have it with a seraphim, because you've been made in the image of God. You have the capacity to receive from God what nothing else can. Don't ever let the devil rob you of that. It's a remarkable thing. He made man. Says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? You made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. My friend, that's us, but it's also a type of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. Look what the Bible says about this coming back. John chapter number 14, I just quoted it to you. He said, if I go, I'll come again to receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But notice he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible said, God said, let there be. Bang! And there was. A whole created universe. Let there be. And it came into existence. But when it comes to the place that he's making for his bride, he's taken 2,000 years and he's not completed yet. Once he completes that, the last soul that is born into the body of Christ, then it's finished.
and he'll come back and receive us. What's that mean? That means that that new Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven is a living thing. It has gates, the Bible says, and a foundation. The gates have the 12 tribes, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the foundation of the apostles of the Lamb. And this is the new Jerusalem that's coming down from God. You see, you've got a place there. You've got a place in that new Jerusalem if you're born again. And the place that you have is a representative of the life you lived. That's what we're talking about. The gate is a gate of suffering, pearl. Suffering, a pearl comes into existence because of suffering. It is associated with lives of humanity. Did you know the Bible talks about the spirits of just men made perfect? You're born again here, but your rewards, my dear friend, come from him. It's not that your walls are going to have, well, he sinned or he didn't. No, that's gone. That's forgiven. But when you do something in his name, you won't lose your reward. Every one of us has a place in heaven, and that place represents the kind of life you lived for him. You see, before you get there, you have the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is where all of God's people are brought before him. It's called the Bema. And they're judged according to the life that they lived in the flesh. Not whether they're saved or not. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with rewards. And it's also a place of crying. And then you have what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We read about that in Revelation 19. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn there with me. Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19 and verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You see that? The marriage is coming. The wife has made herself ready. Look at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Who's called? Who's coming to that marriage? Well, if you're born again, you are the bride. So what's happening is, you're the bride, Christ is the groom, and something spiritual is going to take place in heaven before he comes back to earth. And what happens in heaven is directly related to what Paul called the family of God. Let me give you a little bit of the family of God. This kind of stretch your mind out a little bit and show you how big it is when those that know the Lord and love the Lord and have served him. We start with Adam and Eve. Do you know who they are? They are Gentiles before the law. We start with Abraham. Abraham is a Hebrew because he came from Eber. So this is the Hebrew before the law. Then we get on down to the Jewish believers under the law of Moses. These are your brothers. Then we have the Gentile believers under the law. Read about them in Romans 2. Then we have the church age believers. That's us. 2,000 years of us born of the Spirit of God. Then we have the Jewish believers in the tribulation period, time of Jacob's trouble. Come. Then we have the Gentile believers in the time of Jacob's trouble. Read about them too. And then we have the millennial believers. But it's kind of hard to have them at the marriage of the Lamb because they haven't even been born yet. They're future, but they're still part of the family of God. Imagine sitting down at the table. Is that Abraham I see down there? Yeah, that's Abraham. Who are these witnesses here? Read Psalm 45. Read Psalm 45 and you'll see who's been invited to this. It's like Mephibosheth. I've thought to myself many times, what a dead dog like me. You mean you invite me into the king's house to sit down at the king's table? And he came from Lodibar, and here's Mephibosheth. He was dropped when he was a child. He was hurt in his feet. He was an invalid, so to speak. And he knew it. This is one of the most humble men in all the Bible. I don't believe there'd be any proud boasting at that marriage. Look what immediately follows it. Look at Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19. And verse number 9. He's called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now look at verse number 11. Right immediately after this marriage supper, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white, fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here we are. We've had the marriage supper of the Lamb. His whole family gathered together. And then the father says to him, Son, and only the father knows, Son, go back. Time to go back. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about an exciting place and time. When he stands up, and you'll stand up behind him, and he mounts a white horse. Don't let that bother you. Folks, he can bring anything into existence and simply speak the word and mounts a white horse. And we that are behind him on horses, and the heavens will roll back, no longer in the third heaven, but when the heaven rolls back, there you see earth. And you come down as a man of war. You come down to take that which sin has corrupted. You come down to take the earth, take the kingdoms of this world, and they become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You come down to take them. And then once you've done that, they take the Antichrist and they cast him into a lake of fire. No wonder he's mad. He gets tested. He does. He cast into a lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet, Satan is bound for 1,000 years and put in the bottomless pit. And the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed the earth. And he'll much the nations before him. He'll put the sheep nations on the right hand and the goat nations on the left hand. And the sheep nations are the ones that have treated Israel right. They've been good to Israel. So far, that's where America has been. And the goat nations are the ones like Iran and Saudi Arabia. And the Arab countries that have come against Israel to destroy them, and Hamas, and all the rest of the terrorist organizations, they've on the left hand, be turned into hellfire. That's proud. You know, we're looking at broad, sweeping things. And we will go into the millennium, and we'll watch him reign for 1,000 years. Boy, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to hang around. I'm going to watch him reign for 1,000 years. In his glorified body. Hallelujah to God. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. You'll have a glorified body. You say, Preacher Lawson, let me tell you something now this morning. You're just getting so upset and worked up over something like this. Let me tell you something. This has more substance to it than a ball game does. Amen. You hoop and holler and shout and jump up and down, turn flips and roll over a ball, over something that's going to last an hour and a half, and it's going to be over with, and it's it. And if you lose, Lord, you're going to run around for 4 or 5 days with your head down, and nobody can talk to you. But this is finished, written in stone. Nothing can change it. Hallelujah. Father, bless your word. Bless your word. Thank you for these dear folk who've listened. I pray that you bless it now. Write it in the hearts of the people, Lord. Give them ears to hear. Heavenly Father, a heart to receive it. In thy holy, blessed, righteous name I pray. Amen. All right, folks, go ahead and stand up. Brother's got something for us here.
Page 137, the All-American Church Hymn.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
I didn't say a word about the rapture and all that preaching.